Hi, I'm Fred Kasten. Welcome to Jazz New Orleans here on New Orleans Public Radio, 89.9 WWNO, WWNO.org. Every Friday night at 8, 2 hours of the best jazz from the last 70 years with a strong accent on New Orleans. And an extended conversation with our Jazz New Orleans Player of the Week. This week, that is saxophonist and composer John Ellis, who was profoundly influenced as a teenager by Wynton Marsalis.
Wynton had a septet on the road at the time. I went to see them when I was about 15. It completely blew my mind. And I mean, I was fortunate that I had some exposure to music and stuff, but I certainly didn't know anything about jazz. So I always think about that moment in terms of when people say that jazz is too hard to understand, or the jazz is like, oh, I can't really appreciate that. You have to have a, you know, PhD or something. Because I was a 15-year-old knucklehead from nowhere, and I loved it, right? I mean, I didn't know how it worked or anything, but no one had to teach me how to like it.
Lots more coming up from John Ellis in about 45 minutes here on Jazz New Orleans. New Orleans pianist Tom McDermott's terrific new compilation disc, Bambula, was curated by composer, lyricist, producer, and performer Van Dyke Parks, who'll front a band that includes Tom McDermott at Snug Harbor tomorrow night. Here is Tom McDermott with one of the tunes Van Dyke Parks selected for Bambula, Scott Joplin's The Chrysanthemum.
Thank you.
Tom McDermott from his Van Dyke Parks curated compilation disc, Bambula, the Chrysanthemum. Van Dyke Parks fronts an all-star New Orleans band, including Tom McDermott, cellist Helen Gillet, bassman James Singleton, and percussionist Michael Skinkis, for a couple of shows at Snug Harbor tomorrow night. Jazz New Orleans, 89.9 WWNO, WWNO.org. I'm Fred Kasten. Thanks for stopping by tonight. Coming up on Jazz New Orleans, an Astor Piazzolla tango celebrating liberty. Karen Allison with a J. Leonhardt classic investigating the vagaries of the artistic life. And Renee Marie with a gorgeous reading of a Paul McCartney ballad written in response to the U.S. Civil Rights Movement in the 60s. Jazz New Orleans is made possible in part thanks to the generosity of anonymous New Orleans music lovers and the music lovers at Snug Harbor Jazz Bistro, 626 Frenchman Street. Complete schedule information available at snugjazz.com. Up next, clarinet great Eddie Daniels with pianist Alan Pasqua's musical essay of the Rio Grande. trumpeter and composer Terrence Blanchard on The Verge and the Caribbean Jazz Project with Astor Piazzolla's Liber Tango. Jazz New Orleans, 89.9 WWNO, WWNO.org. Hi, I'm Fred Caston. Thanks for stopping by tonight. Support for WWNO comes from New Orleans Opera, presenting Benjamin Britten's Noah's Flood, November 15th, 16th, and 17th at Trinity Episcopal Church, Jackson Avenue, featuring a children's chorus, part of the Britten 100 celebration. Tickets and information available at neworleansopera.org or 529-3000. And support comes from the law firm of Booth & Booth. Services provided by attorneys Jane and Vincent Booth include family law, personal injury, wills and estates, corporate representation, and small business advice. Their website is boothandbooth.com. Here's Karin Allison with Jay Leonhardt's Robert Frost.
Did write in settings beautiful and rustic. He wrote of rolling hills and green terrain. But poor me, I must do my writing in the chaos of the city, sometimes even on a subway train. How am I to ever learn about the woodlands and the falling leaves of autumn and such things sublime, when I must spend all my time just trucking around this dirty city, doing what I can to earn a dime, dime, dime. How did Robert Frost make payments on that little country place of his? Where did he get the dough? Could he go down to the country store and sell a poem saying, isn't nice when I wrote about the snow? Surely now he must have had a sponsor of some sort, perhaps a lady friend just rolled in bread. A lady friend to say, now Bob, why don't a long, long walk and write whatever pops into your head, head, head. She'd say, Bobby, don't you worry about the mortgage. No, no. Bobby, don't you worry about those bills. Bobby, why don't you go write a poem about the neighbors, about the fences, about the rolling hills. Bobby, don't you worry about the dishes. And don't you even think about those pans. Bobby, you know it's not good that an artist like yourself should be walking around this world with dishpan. Follow through his fancies, wander through the hills behind the mews. Boy, if I had Bobby's life, I'd follow through my fancies. Oh, to be in Bobby's shoes. If I had Bobby's life, I could be a hero.
out and find my fortune and my fame. The only trouble is I hear from people who have found it that everything in life stays just the same, same, same. Just the same stays the same. Just the jumps in a week. I bet you think that's pretty clever, don't you, boy? Flying on your motorcycle, watching all the ground beneath you drop. You kill yourself for recognition, you kill yourself to never another mirror. You're turning into something you are not. Don't leave me high. Don't leave me dry. Don't leave me high. Don't leave me dry. In conversation, you'll be the one who cannot talk. All your insides fall to pieces. You just sit there wishing you could still make love. They're the ones who'll hate you when you think you've got the world all sussed out. They're the ones who'll spit at you. You'll be the one screaming out. Don't leave me high. Don't leave me dry. Don't leave me high. Don't leave me dry.
dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you've always waited for this moment to
Brene Marie with Blackbird, and Jamie Cullum, Radiohead's High and Dry. Jazz New Orleans, 89.9 WWNO. Hi, I'm Fred Caston. Thanks for stopping by. Support for WWNO comes from Southeastern Louisiana University's Executive MBA program, a Saturday program offering general management and healthcare concentrations. Classes start in January. Information from the director, Dr. John Cresson, is available at 985-549-2146. Time now for our Jazz New Orleans Player of the Week extended conversation with saxophonist and composer John Ellis. John Ellis grew up in North Carolina tobacco and soybean country, about an hour south of Raleigh, just outside the town of Cameron.
Population of Cameron at the time was about, I think, officially 200 people. And where I grew up was about 2.5 miles outside of the city limits. So I guess technically I wasn't really within the city limits of any town at all.
So if you say you're outside Cameron, you are outside.
You're outside. Yeah, you're outside. It's we shopped for groceries by the month, and it was about a half an hour to the, I guess we went to somewhere, the Sanford or Southern Pines, Aberdeen. It's about a half hour to those towns.
What'd your folks do?
My father was a Presbyterian minister. He was a small church. There was a lot of churches in Cameron, even though there wasn't that many people. And my mother is she taught freshman writing in the community college. And she commuted either half hour or 45 minutes to teach there.
Were you interested in music as a kid? Did it start early for you, your interest in music?
Yeah, I was interested, but, you know, I was a kid with lots of different interests. I certainly wasn't a prodigy, and I didn't have early interest that was notable, really. But I was fortunate in that there was music in the house. My folks had a piano. My mom played a little piano, and there was a lot of congregational singing that I was a part of. Something that I thought everyone was a part of, but the older I get, the more I realize that kind of placed me, And so she also had my brother and I have piano lessons. She thought that was important. We fought her tooth and nail, but we had piano lessons starting from about 5 years old and not for that long. And then there was music in the public school, which also doesn't exist for everyone. So I started playing clarinet in sixth grade. And I kind of had the general sort of band experience, I guess, and played a lot of sports and, you know, ran around outside a lot. And it wasn't really until I was about a high school age, which is also when you get really restless in a town like that. And that was when I, basically my brother, who really was the prodigy basically at art, he went to the Performing Arts High School, which was in North Carolina, North Carolina School of the Arts. I basically followed him there. I mean, I think my interest in music partly grew out of that, you know, just watching him, you know, experience the changes that went from coming from this really small town to this school, which was such an incredible school, and I ended up wanting to go to that school probably more than anything else, and you know, music was my excuse to go there, and I got very serious about it at that time, though. It just became something about it grabbed hold of me at that time as a kind of endless pursuit, and I became aware of that in high school, and I kind of been unable to get out of it since, I guess.
After studying clarinet for a year in sixth grade, John Ellis switched to oboe. That was his instrument when he won admission to the North Carolina School of the Arts. Once there, he, in fairly short order, got turned on to jazz and switched to tenor sax.
My brother's roommate, when he went away to this school, the School of the Arts, was a jazz drummer. And that guy actually lives in New Orleans now, Jeff Clapp. And he made a huge impact on me at that time because he made a tape for me, a cassette tape of all these things to listen to, and he just sort of had linked me to what was going on at the time in jazz and the history, and that was all connected to Winton and Ellis. It's part of how I ended up here. Winton had a septet on the road at the time. I went to see them when I was about 15. It completely blew my mind, and I mean, I was fortunate that I had some exposure to music and stuff, but I certainly didn't know anything about jazz, so I always think about that moment in terms of when people say that jazz is too hard to understand, or the jazz is like, oh, I can't really appreciate that. You have to have a, you know, PhD or something. Because I was a 15-year-old knucklehead from nowhere, and I loved it, right? I mean, no one had to explain. I didn't know how it worked or anything, but no one had to teach me how to like it, you know, so I still find myself puzzled when I encounter people saying that. But yeah, I was basically totally completely excited about it. It was like watching a magic show or something. And that kind of got me going. His Winton saxophone player was Todd Williams at the time, and he was really kind to me. I went backstage, and he did a similar thing that Jeff had done, which is he made a list of records. And I took that stuff very seriously. I would go and try to, you know, slowly assemble, buy those records, and then try to learn. You know, I didn't have any formal jazz teaching at the time, but I would just put the record on and try to learn one, you know, one note at a time. And that's really how I got started.
John Ellis stayed at the North Carolina School of the Arts through his freshman year of college, then transferred to the UNO Jazz Studies program. He left UNO after a year to play full-time, but remained in New Orleans another 2.5 years.
Musically, I had a lot of opportunity. The scene was small enough that I had tons of opportunity to play informally with all kinds of people. People like Nicholas Payton. I mean, I think of Nicholas as being one of my mentors, even though he's, I guess, just a year older than me. Because being around someone like that, I guess I was probably 19, maybe he was 20. You know, it gave me a sense of what was possible. I mean, just to watch him play all the instruments and to realize that he was only just a year older than me. We were sort of peers in that way. And I mean, it was unfathomable, like, what he was capable of. I mean, still. But you know, at the time, just, it's really important to have that experience to be, you know, in the room with someone who's doing something that, and see that it's possible. And then, you know, maybe you still can't ever do it, but you see someone do it, it changes your perception of what you can do, and I think you grow because of that. So I grew a lot down here.
Enough that in early 1997, he decided to take on the challenge of New York City.
It was severely humbling. I mean, here it was like my living costs were low, and I was, you know, there was not a huge number of saxophone players who were doing the same kind of thing that I was doing, and it was easy to feel like I had my little spot, and I had some gigs and stuff, and you know, I wasn't exactly a big fish here, but I was a fish, you know, I was swimming. And then up there, it's like, it was so humbling. I mean, the level was so high and the people from everywhere. And so it was great, though. I mean, it was, that once again, I think that's the best way to develop, is to be in an environment where you push like that.
Several tough months into the New York scuffle, John Ellis decided to go back to school and completed his bachelor's degree at New York's New School.
That kind of anchored me. It gave me a little time. I took some loans and I was able to, you know, stay there and not have to come running back here or back to North Carolina. And I met a lot of people. It just so happened that the entering class at the New School that year included, you know, Mike Moreno and Robert Glasper and Marcus and E.J. Strickland and you know, a whole bunch of guys that have gone on to do really great things. And they became, you know, my friends and my peers, and I've been playing with all of them since.
John Ellis has become an in-demand tenor man and critically acclaimed composer. He'll be back in the Crescent City with his quintet for a pair of shows at Snug Harbor next Friday night. Here is John Ellis featuring guitarist John Scofield from his 2005 CD, One Foot in the Swamp, One for the Kelpers. Thank you. Saxophonist John Ellis from One Foot in the Swamp, One for the Kelpers. John and his quintet, including drummer Kendrick Scott, bassman Jason Stewart, guitarist Steve Mazikowski, and vibist James Westfall, play Snug Harbor next Friday night.